Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Friday Sharpeners live from Albert Park here at the Formula One Rolex Australian Grand Prix. Jack, it's Johnny Mac and your boy here today.
How are you, son?
I'm well, how are
you? It's good to be down here. I'm only down here for the day. It's Friday, we're here with Porsche, having a lovely day. We just saw one of the sickest cars ever, maybe the fastest car ever made.
Ever made.
Yeah.
It's the Mission X. It's the new one from Porsche. It is their concept, obviously expecting to be on the road in the next couple of years, if we're lucky. It's one of one in the world. It actually comes with its own 12 bodyguards that travel with it around the world.
Yeah.
Like the minder, like their baby. It's wild.
And
we sat in it. We were like,
fighter jets.
Something's going overhead. Might be the roulettes. And it genuinely is like the jewel in the crown for the Porsche brand.
Yeah.
And it's probably the most weaponized hypercar ever built.
I said to the guy who developed it, it'd be really cool if, like, you put a Carrera GT V10 in it, and he's like, it destroys the Carrera GT.
We chose the wrong time to do this podcast intro because the roulettes are literally right above us. But yeah, we'll be Porsche today. Bit of stuff happening with Toyota tomorrow, and then on to Aston Martin and Hugo Boss in the Paddock Club on Sunday. So we're around on the weekend. If you are around and you see us, say hi. Otherwise, yeah, we had dinner last night at Gimlet with Porsche.
Yeah, Gimlet at Cavendish House. I've not been, but everyone in Melbourne seems to rave about it as the best restaurant in Melbourne, and I would tend to agree. It's bloody good. If you're ever in Melbourne, highly recommend. And guess who was sitting next to us, JM? Christian Horner.
He was sitting over our shoulder. Sat on his own for about 20 minutes until he waited for his guest to arrive. They're pretty cool, aren't they?
Sick. There's nothing better than a fighter jet. That's a roulette, isn't it?
It is a roulette.
Yeah, the roulettes.
Yeah, so it's been all hands on deck. I actually spoke to George Russell from Mercedes-Benz
on Wednesday afternoon,
with IWC, which is one of our big partners, who had some time with him, and I got to sit down with the man. I actually have a really candid chat. I spoke to him for about 15 minutes, and I recorded it, and we're actually going to play it at the end of this podcast. So if you are listening, keep listening on, and you'll hear a very candid chat. It wasn't a particularly fast-paced chat. It's interesting, to be honest, Jack. Like, you've seen how quickly and how often these drivers get pulled from post to post, like pillar to post, like all the time, like,
yeah,
non-stop.
We really picked maybe the worst 5 minutes to do this podcast, but that's all right.
It's all part of the atmosphere, part of the ambience. And like, they're just like, they're so in and out. And so I was very surprised that they were like, okay, John, George, have a seat,
have a
yarn. No one came in and said, you've got 2 minutes, you've got 3 minutes, whatever's left. Like, they just let us chat. And we could have kept chatting for another 10 minutes. No one would have stopped us, which is wild, because usually with F1 drivers, they are in such high demand, whereas on the Wednesday,
15-minute block is a significant amount of time.
George was nice and chill. Anyway, if you want to listen to the interview, you can do so. Listen on. If you want to read it, head to the website.
What were your top lines? Nice fella.
Nice fella. Very media trained.
Yeah,
I would have to say. Like, and
everything
and
was very considered.
He's also like, he's very British, and all he cares about is racing. Like I said to him, the last question I said to him was, you know, you got Fernando who could very well race until he's 50. And you've got like some Nico who's out on top, you know, like they just take the championship and they go home. And George is like, the only thing in my life that means something to me is racing. He's like, I don't have hobbies outside of racing. He's like, I've been brought up racing. He's like, all I care about is winning and racing. He's like, I'll do this until my body says no, basically. Yeah. It was a really interesting chat.
Or until Toto says no.
door. We saw him in the paddock this morning.
We did see Toto in the paddock. All the big names were in the paddock this morning. It was very cool.
Brush Toto was there. Max.
Max walked past us.
Ollie Bierman.
Yep. Or Bierman. Then there was all the Sky Media team. Crofty was there.
Jack Doohan.
Martin Brundle. Jack Doohan. If you ever get the opportunity, we're only in the paddock for 10 minutes, I reckon, but it's like everyone you see on TV every week, if you're a fan, they're just right in front of you.
David Coulthard's just standing next to you, like,
yeah, just having all the Ferrari team are smoking darts, like almost all of them sitting there just talking Italian and smoking darts. It's amazing.
Yeah, just like shouting at each other across the paddock. Yeah. I'm going to be in there on Sunday, and I'm actually very excited. One of the things I love about the paddock is every single day and every single year, Jackie Stewart sits there with his full Scottish getup, reading a paper and drinking an espresso, and he sits there in the same spot.
Everybody
walks past him and goes, "G'day, Jackie. Morning, Jackie." Whatever. He can go into wherever he wants to go, and no one says a word. Yeah. So last year, I was here briefly, and I was with Red Bull and ate, and I was just doing a private Red Bull paddock, a pit tour, and Jackie's just there walking around, arms crossed. Walks over to Christian, starts having a yarn with Christian about something. Goes, "Yep, righto." Tips his cap, goes to the next one, goes to Toto, he's just talking to Toto. He can go anywhere he wants to go. It was pretty impressive.
He's basically the king of F1.
He can do anything. He can get away with anything. Like, actually get away with anything. Doesn't have a single pass around his neck either. Like, you know how, like, even Toto and they've all got lanyards and stuff. Jackie, no.
He's the man.
Just the tartan
he's
king.
The fucking
That's it.
Man.
That's it. enjoy the chat with George. Slide into the DMs if you're around.
And the cars are going round again.
So we're
now,
done. So
we're definitely done. Thanks for listening. I'll speak to you next week.
Listen on for the chat with George. How good. Roll on the weekend.
Sorted.
Good to see you.
You're right. I'm well, how are you?
Yes, very good, thank you.
It's good. Very good
to be
here.
It's good.
How's the trip?
It was great, to be honest. It felt like the easiest Melbourne trip I've done so far. I don't know why. But I slept, slept the right amount at the right times. And
nice.
It is long.
You came from the UK?
From Nice.
Nice?
I live in Monaco.
Lovely.
So it was quite straightforward.
Lovely, lovely. Well, thank you for your time. I won't take up too much of your time. Let's get into it then. Favourite moment from last season, if you had to pick one?
I think favourite moment was crossing the line in Abu Dhabi to secure P2 for the team in the championship, because there was such a tight battle with Ferrari for a number of races. And we went into that race and it was sort of me and Charles battling it out, and then suddenly Perez came through quick and he had the 5 second penalty, and it was, went down to half a second was the difference between us finishing second in the championship or third in the championship. And that's 2,000 people's bonuses back at the factory as well. So that was a relief to have secured that result for the team.
What about the off season? Favourite moment? Do you ever feel like you really switch off?
I would say I managed to switch off for about a week during the off season, which I think is pretty good. But I've always got racing in my mind, and I'm always dropping my engineers messages and phone calls just with ideas I have of how we can improve and move forward. But I think, my favourite moment was just seeing my niece and nephew, and my sister had a child as well in the off season. Nice. So that was like a special moment. But just, doing normal stuff.
Being a normal man.
Being a normal person is... Yeah, what I like the most.
Lovely. So you wore a few different watches from IWC last year. But it looks like the one that you wore the most was the Ceritanium Top Gun Double Chrono.
Yeah.
You love that watch?
Yeah, that's my favourite.
Why do you love it?
I love it because when I joined Mercedes as a junior driver, that was the watch that I said I wanted. And when my first IWC arrived from the team, it wasn't that watch. and it was only like 3 years later that I managed to get my hands on that watch when I could actually afford it, and I was actually a part of the Mercedes team. So that has some, it means something to me. And I think it just looks really, really cool. I think it's not too out there, but it's got a young... quite sporty look to it, but you can also wear it every day. So yeah, that's my go-to.
If you had to pick a watch for traveling, for the paddock, and also for date night, what would your three IWC watches be?
For the paddock, probably what I'm wearing currently, the new Mercedes team watch, performance chronograph. Is that the one? Performance chronograph.
Nice. Looks good.
Yeah, no, to be honest, I really, really like this watch. Similar to the Top Gun in terms of the colour and the style, but with the Petronas green details to it, I think it adds like a little nice touch to it. So that would definitely be my paddock watch. Date night, probably the Portuguese annual calendar. I've got a Portuguese annual calendar.
Keep it classy.
Keep it classy.
Travel?
And then travel. Not too sure, really. I'm not too sure. I want to try and say something different. I really like the new... I can never remember pronunciation. Ingenieur?
Ingenieur. The French and the Swiss always say it. It's such grace, don't they?
Yeah, that's great pronunciation. I really like that because it's quite a light watch, easy on the wrist.
Fits under a cuff as well.
Yeah, exactly. So, for travelling, you don't want something too bulky.
Last year, you did probably one of my all-time bucket list experiences. You embraced the Top Gun ethos in a Typhoon fighter jet. It's probably the only career that's about
as fast, if not faster than obviously an F1 car. Did it ever appeal to you, that career?
Never appealed to me, but since having the experience of, well, firstly, I just thought I was going to be a passenger. I didn't know at the time they were going to let me fly. And getting a chance to actually fly it myself, I mean, experience of a lifetime, and would really love to get back up there in the skies, because it is like a Formula One car of the skies.
There's a lot of parallels, aren't there?
So agile and quick and nimble and light. You know, you've got the joystick in front of you, you just move it and the thing just, you know, swerves over. It's the same in the F1 car when you're traveling, you know, 330 down the straight, and you turn into the corner, you know, you zoom to the other side of the track. Awesome experience. So yeah, a lot of respect for what they're doing, and as you said, so many parallels between Formula One and fighter jets,
especially the team element as well.
Yeah,
like, you're in the cockpit in both respects, but the team is like such a massive part of making that operation actually happen.
Absolutely. I think you're, as a Formula One driver, you're so reliant on the whole team. Firstly, you've got the designers drawing up the sketches for the car, then you've got the people manufacturing the car, then building the car, and then when you're at the races, you rely on your team and your mechanics, you know, just make sure all four wheels are on the car. And when I looked at the Royal Air Force, it was exactly the same. You know, so much camaraderie between everybody. It was like a family away from home, as it is for us in Formula One. And everybody shares the same passion of maximizing that performance, making sure it's reliable. And obviously, you know, there's a few individuals who get the honor and privilege to, you know, fly or drive the car or jet.
The inverse of that, what's the most boring thing about being an F1 driver? You can say interviews like these, I won't be offended, it's okay.
What do you think is the most boring thing about being an F1
Probably
driver?
Interviews like these, no? Being pulled left, right, and centre
the
whole time.
I'm not going to offend you.
No, actually, how about time on a plane, though? Like, I mean, you spend so much time travelling, or do you like that downtime?
No, it's travelling. Because...
There's so much of it.
Yeah, I mean, I want to do the numbers, but I reckon over the course of a year, we would spend closing in on... I'd go as far as saying almost a month, a whole month on a plane is at least 2.5 weeks.
Surely someone's so, tracking it, right?
Someone's left a track.
That's
but you think
so just, wild.
Yeah, I mean, just the trip here, there's 2 days on a plane, travelling back to Japan and back is another day and a half. China, back and forth, another day and a half. All of the flights within Europe, you know, you're to the team. You know, I'm doing probably 5 flights a week on average. So I would say I'd probably say 3 weeks on a plane. So, and it's not just that; it's the travel from your home to the airport, the waiting in the airport, landing, getting the bags,
all the rest of it, yeah,
and all the rest of it. So, I think people don't maybe appreciate that of what everyone in Formula One, you know, the 4,000 people who travel the world. It's a very luxurious lifestyle on the face of it, but a lot of time away from home, away from loved ones, a lot of time zone shifts, brutal on the body. But, you know, we wouldn't change it for the world because we love what we do.
It's the best job in the world. The solid gold Portuguese perpetual calendar, the boutique edition, was probably one of our favourite watches that we saw you wearing from IWC. Did you like anything particular about that watch, and did you enjoy wearing it? I mean, it's quite a statement.
The rose gold one?
Yeah.
I really like the combination of the rose gold and the navy blue dial and the leather sort of intercrossed strap. I think it's sort of really classy about it. And I really like the perpetual with the moon and the stars moving through the course of the month. That was my first sort of really wow piece of a watch. And you know, I only bring that out for special occasions. So, no, I feel very fortunate to have that.
Let's talk Vegas. Didn't go quite according to plan for you last year, but like such a momentous occasion for the sport, and to be on the strip. Talk us through that first time you drove that car down that strip.
It was fast and bumpy. It was it was a hell of a ride. I mean, nobody really knew what to expect of Vegas in terms of a circuit. On the face of it, the circuit seemed pretty underwhelming, but when we drove it, it had a huge amount of character. It was great for racing, and it was very challenging to drive. It was really low grip. We were the only category racing, so you'd always get the track was always very green and dusty. So for the drivers, it was a unique challenge. You know, we're used to the circuits being fully bedded in and high grip from Formula 3, Formula 2, and the other categories racing. And then when you go down the strip, I think in the race we were doing about 350. It was very challenging to spot the braking points. When you're racing in the dark, you've got the buildings between you, all the lights going.
The lights especially, kind of. That's what comes to mind.
And you're trying to pick your braking point, which is 120 meters before the corner. You know, it's not easy.
No,
I enjoy the experience. It was a wild experience. Formula One and Vegas, you know, with where we are as a sport at the moment, it just seemed right, and it was good.
Aside from the obvious, do you have perhaps maybe a personal goal for 2024 that gives us some sort of insight into the man that is George Russell? Could be, I don't know, Duolingo with Spanish or something. I don't mind what it is. I'm just curious.
That'd be my girlfriend's goal for me, but it's. I think I mentioned it before. I think, two goals. Let's say professional goal. You're obviously saying world champion, but you know that's every driver's goal. So it's and there's by just saying that's what you want to achieve. It doesn't really mean anything. You know, I want to maximize performances a bit more than we did in 2023. I think my speed was better than ever last season, but in 2022, I was achieving more consistent and stronger results and maximizing the car's potential. And that means, you know, if a win's on the table, I want to get that win, and I'd be disappointed if it's second. Or if P5 is the maximum the car's capable of and I achieve a P5, I'll be satisfied with that. So on the professional side, I just want to maximise the potential of what the car is and maximise the result possible. And I think that's, you know, first two races, I think from my side, we did that. We couldn't have achieved really a higher result than we did. And then on a personal level, I'd say, as I said before, just, you know, enjoying the journey. I think it's so easy to get caught up in the competitive nature of the sport and the emotional roller coaster that you go through, the highs and the lows. It's a psychological toll on the body, so you need to turn that into good energy and positivity, happiness, and that's what I'm trying to do a bit more.
I was going to say that the life in the fast lane continues for you after you get off the track, doesn't it? Like, you don't stop, you're on to the next one, and it's just go as we are chatting here, and you're on to the next place, and being able to just pause for a moment, just enjoy it.
Yeah,
must be like such a valuable thing when you find that time to actually get a chance to do that.
Yeah, I think finding the time to enjoy those quiet moments.
Yeah,
time is precious, and being efficient with my time is one thing when I'm, you know, on these days. But then when I've got a moment to myself or a day to myself, you know, truly maximizing it. Whether that means feet up on the couch and your day off and recovering, or training, or spending time with loved ones, or whatever it may be. You know, we've all got this one life, and you just need to maximise it, and the days fly by.
On that same thought then, you've got the likes of Fernando, who we wouldn't be surprised if, you know, he's still racing when he's 50, and then you've got Nico, who's out on top and calls it a day when he's on a high after taking the championship. Are you a race until the body says no kind of guy? What do you think?
I'll be here for a long time. I don't know what I'd do without it, to be honest. I'm not one of these guys who has all of these interests outside the sport. I respect those people, and every individual is different. Some people need their passions outside to disconnect as a way of enhancing their performance on the track. For me, my life is racing, and you know, I've been here 6 years now. I've far from achieved what I set out to and believe I'm capable of, and you know, I'm just going to keep on going, keep on powering through, looking after myself, my body, not for today, but for the future. And you know, the seasons are becoming intense and very intense and increasingly more challenging with the number of races. You know, I'm fit and healthy and young at the moment, and I'm dealing with it absolutely fine, but I want to make sure that in 10 years time, when I'm 35, that I can deal with a 24 race calendar and I'm still fit and I'm still performing on the top of my game.
Nice. Let's finish with what, when you get off the plane here in Melbourne, what excites you the most about like the weekend as a whole?
Those first laps in the first practice, that's always a really exciting moment, because you head into a race weekend with the unknown. We have an indication of what this weekend's going to bring. We're pretty confident a Red Bull's going to be at the sharp end of the grid. But we don't know if we're going to be up there fighting with them, if we're going to be on the back foot, if the car's going to be performing well, if I'm going to be performing well. And those, you get an indication after about three laps on track of how your weekend's going to pan out.
Yeah.
And it's always a really exciting moment. You know, here I am today, I'm talking with you, but you know, I'm here to race and I can't wait to get jump in that car again.
Nice.
Awesome.
Cool, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so
appreciate
much,
it.
George. Cheers. Nice. All the best this weekend. Good luck.
Thank you.
All right. One more video.